For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bastion Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBastionBrigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 152. Is that parcel in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see it?
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing our hundred men. For Boston, take Westerns of Lightning. And ever when the right shot has been bumped, we'll touch a little more in the world. It's come for Boston, for Boston, our glory is all
over. Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
And I'm sorry.
He's hungry.
All right, Bluonic.
Yes, we are currently chowing down on some, what is this place called again?
Qdoba. Qdoba. Mexican grill.
Mm. Yes, we're going to have to go there a lot more often.
Well, Chipotle is like the other way in Saga, so it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that would mean
bleeding out of the
anal ass. Bleeding and, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So, the other day, I was walking around Harvard Square with my friend waiting for the Oberon to open up so we can check out Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which, by the way, is a fucking awesome musical if no one's ever seen it.
Jesus.
And I come across a sign, and it says, Insomnia Cookies.
Hmm.
Cookie delivery until 3 in the morning.
Wow. All right, see, now I have an issue with that.
You do?
Yeah, because insomnia doesn't just end at 3 a.m. It just keeps going.
Right.
So they need to make a 24/7 delivery of cookies. Like, really? This is in Boston?
Yes. Well, there are a bunch of locations of insomnia cookies across the country. The majority of them near like colleges and universities.
Because, so, you know, the kids need to get their milk and cookies, right?
Right.
So is this one of those nightcap fucking cookies or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Say you're studying, you get the rumbling in your tummy, goes, gosh, I feel like I just want some cookies right now. Boom, motherfucker! Insomnia cookies.
I mean, recently, just me going to the Sea Dog, we were looking at, like, everything. We were looking through the alcohol menu and all this other stuff, and we checked out the dessert. They actually have milk and cookies.
Yes.
As a dessert. That's pretty damn good.
Yep, and this does come with milk if you want it. Oh. So it's like a couple extra bucks from the deliver, but it's like, who hasn't had a craving for cookies late at night?
Now, the question I have is, does the delivery guy have to dress up like grandma or your mom or something like that and deliver the cookies?
No, you know what would be more awesome? They dressed up like one of the old school 1950s milkmen.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, at least he doesn't sing. It's not like a singing telegram.
I remember when they used to deliver the milk at my place and stuff like that. And this is like early 90s. Like, it was basically when they were finally like getting it done and like getting rid of that kind of service.
I don't even remember that.
I can remember it. And like, I have like all the hood milk crates too to show you. And they're the guy, I can remember him. He had like the 70s like hair with the mustache, like the handlebar mustaches. And you're like, holy crap, why does this guy look like a biker?
Now, was it Julio's?
Julio's? What?
Because you know how Julio's has the whole milk thing.
No, it was Hood. Hood.
Really?
Hood milk. Back in the day. When they used to deliver.
Yes. Awesome. God, I don't even remember doing it right now.
And all I remember is like, hey, it's getting delivered. Let's get some milk.
So, one of the other things I kind of notice in Harvard Square, in that little area, and maybe this is something that some people have noticed in their vicinities and such. What is up with, like, these people?
Wait, what do you mean, these people?
These people who sell CDs.
Okay.
You know, and they play the music live. And I'm talking specifically about one specific instrument.
Pan flute?
Pan flute.
Oh, okay. So.
Thank you. Gee, have you ever had that little thought of being like, you know what would be great right now? To rock out to some fucking pan flutes right now.
Well, not really pan, like, rocking out. It's one of those things where it's supposed to calm you down and relax you. It's supposed to be relaxing music, but...
Yes.
I mean, when I was working my security job at the mall, they actually had, like, those groups, like, in there, and it just seemed like everybody flocked to them. Like, I don't get it myself, but I think they're playing, like, music to, like, you know, mess with people's heads or something.
Now, let me ask you something. Did the person who was playing him have goat legs?
No. They were all wearing, like, kind of, like, a... Like, some of the musicians wore, like, those Technicolor ponchos.
Yes.
And then the other guys, you know... Like, one guy had, like, kind of, like, a white shirt on with suit pants, you know? I was like, oh, okay, what the hell? And he was the one who was selling the CDs.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just don't understand why people think it's such a great idea that... To pick up, like, the pan flute and just make that the main instrument. If it's, like, a background instrument... Say you're in a folk band, and one of the instruments you can play is pan flute along with guitar or mandolin or stuff. That's understandable. But if all you can play is the fucking pan flute, I'm sorry, you just don't have much of a future in the music industry.
Yeah, that's true, but, I mean, that's like me. That's like the whole thing that I have about, like, Kenny G. Like, Kenny G, and he's got, like, the whatever the hell that is.
It's like
the clarinet horn or whatever the
fuck. It's actually jazz saxophone.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it killed me back when I was younger. I was just like, why are you commercializing this? This sucks ass. Why? Why do you do this? Yeah, I know. He plays all the greatest songs on a douchebag instrument.
It was funny because, what was it? Last year, on Saturday Night Live, Foster the People were performing, and they had fucking Kenny G with them.
What?
I don't know why. You know, must have been some... may have been, like, a hidden joke. Like,
must have been.
Must have been. But...
Alright, that's enough with the spieling. Let's get going.
Oh, come on, one more spiel.
Alright,
one more spiel, because I'm very excited about this. I'm very super excited, because it's been 6 years since they've come to Boston.
Okay.
October 10th.
Okay.
Middle East upstairs.
Okay.
I know I sent this to you.
Okay.
There's going to be an awesome concert. The first band is a group that's come here many times, P. Lander Z.
Oh, God.
Who are, if you've never heard of them, imagine what would happen if the Power Rangers started a punk rock band.
And they're all Japanese.
Yes. Well, and they are originally... Well, think about it. Power Rangers is
originally... No. I'm just saying, like, if because of the kid... When you think Power Rangers, you think of, like the original Five and all that other stuff.
Yes.
For the most part.
You don't think of the original Super Sentai.
No, series. We're not talking about the ones that are on the, like, actual Japan. I'm talking about the ones that we know here in America because they Americanized the shit out of it. But yet, the concept came from Japan. But I'm saying, if originally, because if you're used to the Americanized version, take three guys, Japanese, put them in those suits, run around like a crazy bunch of assholes, and is this the one where the guy, the drummer, is usually naked?
No, and okay. I'm actually going to... I'll be talking about that one right afterwards.
Because but apparently these guys actually have, like, full-on, like, from what I remember, what they had, like, actual, like, Godzilla fights or something like that.
Yep, and they do human bowling.
Yeah.
They're super fun to watch. But the band that's going to be touring with them is the band that I've been waiting 6 years to come back, and it's the group Electric Eel Shock.
That's who it is, yeah.
That's the band with the naked drummer, the master
of... Okay, he wears a tube sock.
Yes. And he's the master of double-piece drumming. And what that means is he drums with two drumsticks in each hand, sort of like in a peace sign formation. And he's, like, bashing around like crazy. And they're one of the greatest live acts on the planet, hands down. And they're not really popular here in America. They aren't even really popular in Japan. But in Europe, they're, like, headlining festivals. Mm-hmm. They're huge over there. And... there is a really good reason why. And if you go onto YouTube, like, type in Electric Eel Shock and try to find some, like, of their live footage, you will be, like, amazed at what they do on stage. It's not just the way that they rock out. It's just how they get the crowd going. Think of, like, Howling Pale from The Hives. You know how he gets the crowd going when he's up on stage?
He's a crazy asshole.
He's a crazy asshole. Think of that, but within all three of the band members.
Yeah.
So, they are indeed like one of the best live acts on the planet. And I would suggest go to like I think planderz.com. Check out all the other tour dates, because if they're coming to a town to you, you need to see them, because they are just, oh, they're so awesome.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. So, Blue Hawk and I went and saw the movie Premium Rush, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Damaged it. He's been in a lot of movies lately.
Yes, he has been in a lot of movies lately. He's got this, he's got Looper.
Batman.
How does he have time?
I don't know, man. From Third Rock to the Sun to now, it's like, holy crap. That kid has really done some stuff. Like, I that was the one thing that, when he started showing up again, like, a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, that's the kid from Third Rock from the Sun. I wonder what the hell he's going to do with his career. It's going to probably go down the shitter. And I'm wrong.
And you're rarely wrong about that sort of stuff.
No. Well, I'm not always wrong about that stuff. Like, you know, sometimes it's like they got Macaulay Culkin, basically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that whole setup where...
And oh, wait, he's got a more talented younger brother. This is Kieran Culkin.
Yeah, you know, actually, that kid's been fucking going around places. I think he's doing a hell of a lot better in his career. I mean, next to Macaulay Culkin, I think he might be... If you have a death pool betting system, he's probably the next one in line. But more or less, I have to say that, you know, like, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, like, coming into play and stuff like that, he's done a great job, and especially with this movie, he did a pretty damn good job.
Yes.
Especially at the end, just stay a little bit longer until, like, the actual, like, before the actual credits start rolling,
mm-hmm.
and you get to see a whole part where they're like, yep, there's his bike, there's the window broken out of the back of the taxi cab, and this is what he did to his arm. Yeah, so he didn't get completely injured, but he did kind of rough himself up. But like you noticed that, like when he's wearing a bandage in the movie, that's why they kind of actually went with the movie more or less with him, like yeah. you know. But
and it was really cool how they did this movie too, like going back and forth between the origin of the package.
Yeah, this is set like within originally what they kind of give it to you. Like, it's supposed to be, like, what, 5:30-something
yes.
that he crashes?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get a package from point A of New York to point B of in New York, which is basically north side of New York all the way down to south side. Or, like, to Chinatown. I don't know New York that well, but basically that's what I was seeing from the map setups that they had. But the hour setup, it seemed like everything started going downhill around 4 o'clock. Or maybe even before that, because that's when you're starting to figure out almost like everybody that's involved.
Well, as soon as he gets the package, that's when the shit starts going down. I mean, you run into that NYPD officer, Bobby Monday, who was played wonderfully by Michael Shannon, who is...
Michael Shannon is just a fucking nutbag.
Yeah.
He plays like... He's been playing... oh my god.
Boardwalk Empire.
He's done Boardwalk Empire. He was the FBI agent. There was another movie that he played where he it was something about bugs, and he thought they were in his skin or something like that, and he got somebody else to believe that they were in his skin, in their skin, and they all just went fucking nuts.
Does that Take Shelter?
Maybe. No, actually, that's another one where I just recently watched. Actually, I thought I was going to do a review on that one, but I might just go and... It was kind of weird. That one is he's hearing like thunder and lightning, and he thinks he's like got a tumor or something like that because his mom suffered from a tumor.
Ooh.
But what ends up happening on that whole thing is that he builds a shelter because he thinks like these big tornadoes are going to come and wipe the whole like place out. But
that's right.
But
I figured out what movie it was that I've seen him in before. He was in The Runaways. He played Kim Fowley, the band's producer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fucked up in that film too.
He's just, well, that's the thing about him. It's just the way he looks, but also the way he talks.
Yeah. Like, you know who I thought it was originally? That cast member from Saturday Night Live, he was in that film Tropic Thunder. He was like Tom Cruise's like secretary of sorts.
I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember what his name is. It's like right on the tip of my fucking tongue. Bill Hader.
Ah, Bill Hader.
He reminded me a little bit. He kind of had that voice of his.
Yeah. But I mean, for the most part, like with him, he's been in so many movies, it's not even funny. Like, and he's just one of those, like, low-key cast members that I feel like he should be brought more to the front. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in this movie, he was brought to the front. He was playing a corrupt police officer and whatnot, yeah, trying to, you know, get this special ticket. That's basically what it is. I thought it was actually originally a thumb drive or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Which would have been probably even cooler, but...
But then we'd be going back to Big Ass.
Yeah, that's true. But the whole thing with the actual delivery system, I don't know if I really want to give away that part. Like, the whole, the concept of what the ticket means.
No, let's just say this ticket is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's not a lottery ticket. Let's get that one
out
of the way.
That's exactly what I thought the first time they said about the ticket. I was just like, what else would you be doing with a ticket right here?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as the story plays out and whatnot, it's really interesting with the action scenes that they did. I especially like the whole, just to jump right to it, like the whole scene where he's at the police impound. And he finds the bike, and he just like, I'm gonna ride the shit out of that bike. And he goes and he starts basically what it is what it's really called is trials riding.
Yes.
So trials riding, like he's hopping from car to car, and he's hopping on like everything. He's hopping off like the actual.
Think of like a bicycle version of that game, Trials Evolution.
Yeah, if you've ever played that. But I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance to, I'm telling you, go on YouTube and look up trials riding, and there's some people out there that do some pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, every day, like, oh, this looks like just a shitty construction yard, blah, blah, blah. They think it's a fucking playground.
Yep.
They'll pop up on one wheel and hop around the whole fucking place like they're a bunny rabbit. That's how crazy they are. They're amazing. But that's the thing about him is apparently with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, yep, he's actually...
Wiley.
Okay,
the coyote.
He's like, he's originally like, you know, going, he went through law school and everything like that, and he never took the bar. So he was like, I don't feel like getting stuck in a cubicle or an office all day long and whatnot. He'd rather, you know, live the whole concept of adrenaline.
Yes, and get just that keep going. Rider's high of sorts.
Well, with his bicycle set up, and I know a couple of people that with their biking experience, that's a pretty freaking crazy setup. I mean, especially because it's a fixed gear. He doesn't have brakes on it. And like you said, he doesn't coast. He has to keep his legs constantly moving. Yeah. Otherwise, the bike will break.
I sometimes feel like that when I'm actually out power walking. That's how I feel. I just got to keep moving and moving and moving and moving. Because I feel like if I stop moving, that's when I'm going to start like sweating and having to catch my breath and all that.
Yeah, well... In that sense, when I used to do my security job, I couldn't stop walking. Like my legs would start aching. I would have to keep going.
So yeah.
More or less, I can understand that concept. But
right.
With me, I was really like, I like this movie setup because of the fact that it deals with the people, like the everyday, you know, lower than, you know, low, basically. Because they're riding around doing these deliveries just to get the adrenaline high, but also to make a little bit of money. And I mean a little bit of money, because they what was it? Some of the deliveries were worth what, $30, $40, $50.
Yep. And he gets gypped by Raj, who you might recognize from The Daily Show.
Not only that, but he was also in the what do you call it there? M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dongs.
Oh God, we don't speak of the Airbender.
Yeah,
the Airbender. Seaman V.
Yeah,
he's much better in this movie than.
Well, he's good in all those other movies except that one.
Yeah.
That one sucked ass.
Yes. And but he's funny motherfucker, too.
He's funny. He's hilarious. I just felt like they didn't use him enough at, you know. He basically was probably on the set for about a whole week, and that was it. But more or less with this whole movie setup that they did, it's a great cast of people. They did a fantastic pick on it. I was thinking, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt wouldn't have been able to play this kind of a character. But apparently he took to it like a fish in waters, and he was just, you know, he was all good about, you know, riding the bike and everything. The other cool stuff was how they'd use the car graphics.
Mm.
Like,
and on top of that, like how he had to choose which direction he needs to go.
Yeah, it was pretty funny when he had to do that. Like the whole concept of like he's like, if I take this path, I'm gonna flip over this car and take out this baby's carriage or something like that.
If I take this path, I'm gonna knock over a dude who's gonna be run over by this truck.
Yeah, exactly. And it was pretty funny because it's like how the whole setup worked. But he'd always seem to like find the right path.
Yeah.
Except for that one time.
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah, this whole setup that they designed with the cars and whatnot to like simulate like a guy almost getting run over or like the actual traffic, you know, it was pretty impressive. Especially when they did the interactive interactive part with a cop. The cop that's trying to chase after Wily. He's on the mountain bike and he's trying to go through the thing, and there's a cop. I mean, taxi cab that actually almost like slides into him.
Yes,
but it, like, he's like, "What the hell, man? Where did you expect me to go?" You know, like, he's yelling at, like, probably, he was probably yelling at, like, thin air, basically, at the time when he was doing the thing. But there's also, like, but they were able to green screen it and make it look really well.
Yes,
so. I have to give it to them on that whole aspect. I mean, most of the cars you could pick, okay, yeah, that doesn't look real, but, yes, you know, the concept that they had to do with this movie, it made it look awesome.
Yeah, so you got to give it up for doing something very unique with the chase sequence.
Yeah.
Because usually when you see, like, a bicycle chase sort of set up, it's usually in, like, a comedy.
Yeah.
You've never really seen it done in more of a serious aspect like in Premium Rush. And for that, I've got to applaud David Culp, the guy who directed it and co-wrote it with John Camps.
Yeah. Now, I have to say that this kind of movie, I feel like, is like kind of like an homage to Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon and everything like that. Did you ever see Quicksilver?
I don't think I've ever seen Quicksilver.
Oh my god, I'm gonna slap you. Like, just fucking slap you. This movie was pretty damn awesome. I mean, it's, I want to say late 80s, early 90s. I can't really remember off the top of my head, but, you know, it was close to when, like, Kevin Bacon was really getting out there and starting to know. Actually, lo and behold, Morpheus is actually in the movie as well.
Wait.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Wait,
Lawrence Fishburne. Is in the movie.
Oh, in Quicksilver.
In Quicksilver.
Okay, because I'm about to say, where the was he in Premium Rush?
No, he wasn't in Premium Rush. You friggin' spaced out on me again.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's my bad.
So more or less what I was trying to say was is that Lawrence Fishburne is in the movie with Kevin Bacon, and they're doing deliveries and stuff like that, but apparently they're doing drug runs. Well, not Kevin Bacon, but Lawrence Fishburne's character, and he ends up getting ganked. But that's why I was trying to say that, like, it's kind of interesting because of how they did the whole system and, like, all the cast and everything like that. It goes to the it goes towards the Premium Rush movie.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, altogether, I think we could just go and rate this movie because it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think I can easily give this maybe like a 4.3 out of 5 because there were a couple slow parts in the film, but they had to deal with a little bit more of the, you know, backstory of why people are chasing after this ticket.
Yeah, well, you're kind of wondering, like, when he gets hit by the when he gets hit by the car and he flies and then lands down, he kind of blacks out. But it blacks out to the point where it goes back to, you know, a certain part where, you know, he's dating the other girl there on the bike.
Yeah, Dania Ramirez.
Yeah,
hot.
She's pretty.
And her roommate Jamie Chung.
She was the one from what do you call it there?
Hangover 2, and I forget if it was The Real World.
No, fuck The Real World. No. I'm talking.
No, Real World Road Rules Challenge. I was
no,
right.
No. Fuck that. No, I don't.
Real
I don't
World really, San Diego.
You know what? MTV doesn't exist. All right, fuck MTV. I'm saying more or less. Along
but I'm
the
just
lines,
saying this is where she got.
Wasn't she the girl? No. She was in that girl about the Facebook movie, Social Network. I thought.
Was she in Social Network?
I thought she was the one in Social Network because I could remember. I thought I remember her. But,
nah. She's going to be in that new movie by the RZA.
Oh, God.
She's going to play Lady Silk.
Yeah. So, more or less, from my point of view on this movie, I can give it a 4.5 out of 5. The setup of the movie, yes, there was some slow parts, but I think that was building up to the whole tension. For the most part, what I was seeing for the actual, like, IMDb rating system and everything like that, they have it going for 6.7 out of 10. I don't think that's right. I think most people are going to actually sit there and enjoy this. A lot of the people in the audience when we were sitting there, even though it's a Saturday morning and matinee hours, people enjoyed it. You know, sitting there and
it was actually pretty packed for a Saturday morning. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like one of these movies that were like really pushed out there.
Yeah,
like I only really saw commercials for it when we were at the theater. I didn't see any on television. And
I saw a few on television, like, as of recent, because they were trying to push it a little bit more.
Okay. But, altogether, a very good movie. And I think a lot of people will be very surprised when they see this film. Like, it's that good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
Alright, so, why don't we move on to
video games. Video games.
So, speaking of awesome things that are Asian.
Asian? What?
Sleeping Dogs. They came out with a trial for this. Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but originally this was going to be True Crime Hong Kong.
That's what I was thinking it was. That was one of my things. I was like, wow, this kind of reminds me of True Crime and all this other shit and blah, blah, blah. And
but then Activision was like, no, we're going to cancel this. But then Square Enix was like, I don't think so. Mine.
We'll just slap a new name on it.
And let me tell you something. I've been reading reviews of this game, someone at Activision must be punching themselves in the balls for canceling it.
Well, I mean, when we were at PAX East, we didn't really get to play... PAX East.
I got to play it at E3, though, and I was very impressed with this
game. I was just walking by, able to, like, check out somebody, you know, sitting there playing the game itself. It looked pretty interesting because of the fights, you know, fight setup.
Yeah, it was like Batman Arkham City, the way the fights are set up. The whole, you know, punch, kick, you know, trying to do, like, the whole...
Reversals.
And using the environments, too. I mean, there's nothing more awesome.
Nothing more awesome than tossing somebody into a friggin', you know, 3,000-pound oven, you know, and just toss them in there.
Yep, or shoving their face into an air conditioner fan.
Yeah, there's always that, too. I mean, on that basis of that black and white game that we usually like to play on...
Mad World.
Yeah, Mad World on the Wii. It kind of resembled some of that fighting style, but not to the extreme of, like, taking a post off the ground and just sticking it through somebody's head while... They're having tires around them, but
yeah.
I mean, the fight sequences were pretty awesome that I got to play. They, you know, there were a couple issues that I had, like when I was like trying to fight somebody, and I was like, "Oh, he's red," and I press the Y button, which is the countering.
Yes,
and all of a sudden, the guy goes and hits me or stabs me, and I'm like, "Son of a bitch, what did I hit that button?" But I mean, lo and behold, that's like one of those things that it is a demo, and it's a timing thing, and especially like. Saying this is a guy going and giving you a big roundhouse kick or something like that, you got to time that right because you got to use his momentum to drop him on the ground and stuff.
Yeah, like you crash the leg and then drop him down and then you'll just snap it.
Either snap his leg, give him a punch to the face. It's pretty interesting how that fight sequence is. How did you feel about the gun section?
I had a little bit of an issue with the aiming with the gun.
Okay.
Because I was trying to do the whole lock-on thing and it wouldn't lock on to the character.
I don't give a shit about lock-on. I just use the reticle and just fucking shoot. That's mainly my concept.
Yeah. Well, you're better at those sort of games than I am, so that's the thing.
What are you saying? I got hand-eye coordination?
Yeah, you do have better hand-eye coordination. I will admit that right here and there. You are better at hand-eye coordination than I will probably ever be.
I was able to lay waste to those guys, but I did have and when I was doing the fighting things, I did end up getting, like, having to redo the fighting section because of that goddamn, The grappler guy, the one that's really big.
Yes.
You don't want to deal with those guys up close. You want to kind of just keep kicking their ass from afar.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will grapple you and toss you to the ground and stomp you, basically.
Yes. That did happen.
Ended up killing me a couple times. So. Right.
I didn't wind up dying, but yeah, he did stomp me to near death.
Oh, well, fuck you then. I ended up doing like that thing about 3 times.
I like the cover system in this game. I do like how you can... When you're jumping out of cover, it slows down. Kind of like in a Max Payne setup.
Yeah, it was kind of a
take
Max
out
Payne
some
setup.
People.
It didn't explain that to me too much, so I only got to do that maybe once or twice. And I was like, well, that was kind of cool. But then I was like, okay, how do I keep repeating that?
Mm-hmm.
More or less, you got to keep kicking ass, taking names, and then it will build up the bar on the side, and then you can use it to do that sort of movement.
Yes.
But, I mean, graphics, I want to say on this, is pretty fair. I think the characters look okay.
Yeah.
The movement, you know, is a little bit weird because of, like, the running setup, like, you know, how he's running. You have to run after a guy the first time,
yes.
You know, in this demo.
Yeah, and actually, this was the demo I got to play at
E3. Mm-hmm. So when you're running after that guy, you know, I felt like there was a couple parts where you're like, oh, crap, you know, trying to have him run and stuff like that, but he didn't look like he was getting enough ground. I mean, even when I was doing the tapping of A or holding it down to have him run.
Right.
I don't know, sometimes it felt a little bit off, but...
Yeah, I was having a bit of an issue with, like, jumping at the right moment, because you know how if you don't jump, he winds up, like, stumbling over something, or he has, like, issue trying to pull himself up from, like, the air conditioner vent, or
running through the crowd was actually not too bad. I mean,
yeah.
Pushing people over is not too bad, but still...
It's actually kind of funny.
They still got in the way and pissed me off. But, I mean, for the most part, if you're still running after a guy, as long as you got him in the line of sight... He could run to the last point, and you can still, like, find him.
Yeah. But altogether, with this demo, I'm very impressed with what I've seen so far. I've read a lot of great reviews for this game. I don't think I've read a negative review. I've either read games that have like praised it uncontrollably to just going, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I've heard like it's got a whole like Grand Theft Auto setup as well. You can even do some street racing in the game. So.
Well, no, it's actually, I want to say that it's like Square Enix's attempt to go after Grand Theft Auto like world open, you know, kind of setup. So you can actually, you won't just have to just keep doing the damn missions. You can actually go off and blow off some steam, race, kill people, do stuff like that. Because apparently, you know, when you go into this demo, you're going to find out that your main character is actually a UC or an undercover.
Yes.
And it was kind of funny how like they had the interaction in the actual like jail cell, but more or less, yeah, this game is definitely interesting.
And they have some pretty talented people in this game. They've got Emma Stone.
I thought I heard her voice.
Amanda, she plays Amanda in the game. They have Robin Sho,
okay,
who plays Conroy, and playing Vivian Liu is Lucy Liu.
Yep, that's all.
So they've got some pretty good people that have actually lent their voice to this game. So
yeah.
I'm very, very excited to see what's going to happen with this title. I know it's already out. I hope to maybe buy it sometime in the near future. Maybe when the price goes down a little, there's like a sale of sorts.
Yeah, this economy sucks ass.
Yeah. But I think I could give this game, this demo, I can give this a 4.2. Awesome with the whole combat system, not so much with the guns. But then again, this is just a demo. The bugs could be worked out in the full
game. They could be patching it as we speak. But for the most part, me on this one, as a demo, 4.1.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, like I said, there was a couple things that I had an issue with, and my guy caught on fire a couple times when I was running out of the building. I don't know why. But, it was pretty interesting. It was damn good. So if you got a chance to download it, I know it's on Xbox. Is it on PS3 by any chance? Do you know that?
Yeah, it's on PS3.
All right.
So I actually played the demo on my PS3.
Okay. I played it on Xbox, so.
Yeah, because that's the one it came out with on first.
Okay. So you can play it on both of those systems and try it.
It's also on PC, and it's also on Live, even though I don't really want to support them because they're not going belly up, per se, but there's some shit going on behind the scenes that wasn't
right. What the hell were you talking about on Live?
On Live, it's that whole cloud system video game thing. We saw them at PAX East.
I don't know if I remember them. I don't want to remember them, I guess.
Yeah, don't bother. Pretend I didn't say it.
Okay.
That goes for you too, listeners.
All right, so next.
There was a demo for NHL 13. Last year, I was impressed with the demo. Maybe, I don't know if it was because it was just with the Bruins or I was happy with the whole shooting system. But here, for this new one.
Now, you're not mistaken for the 2K version, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't think 2K has done one in a while.
All right, just make sure.
I do have to give them to one thing about the whole. There's a whole nostalgia with the controls. You can either do it the more complex way, or you can use the same controllers that NHL 94 had. One to shoot, one to pass.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be all fancy-smancy about it.
Well, I guess I decided to go the hard route and do it with the stick control, but it's not as hard as you think it is. Like, you use the right trigger.
Yes.
That's the pass.
Yeah.
And to shoot, you just use the right stick. So, if you're using the right stick, if you just click it forward really fast, that's a snapshot. And especially if you're on the opposite side of your strong point for the shooter that you're on,
mm-hmm.
He'll backhand it. And then if you want to bring it into for a big slap shot, you just click it back and click it forward really fast, and he'll give it a slap shot at the goalie. Although, I did have an issue with figuring out where the sweet spots were to get a goal.
Yeah. I saw it was a lot better than the last game, I have to admit.
Well, I mean, there's only so much of a point where you can make it that easy to keep on, you know, getting goals and whatnot. This one, I was fighting to make sure that I kept, like, my score, because when I started my round, I got four. I was the LA Kings against the Devils, and I had a 4-3, so I had like one goal lead, so I was trying to keep them from scoring and whatnot, and I was able to do that. But yeah, every time I got up to the net, I was like, come on, what the hell am I doing wrong here? Like, I'm shooting up high, I'm shooting low. I just couldn't figure out actually like what I was doing to actually get the puck in the net.
Mm-hmm.
I even did the free skate, and it out of 12 shots, I got 1 out of 12. And it was ridiculous. I was like, holy shit, yeah. This is pretty fucking crazy. But, I mean, I think if as long as you keep playing the game, you'll get used to it, and you'll just keep on, you know, being able to score goals like it's nothing. I know one of my friends that has the 2012 version, and they love that game to death. They'll just keep playing it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I was actually surprised because you could actually see the crowd. Like, when they showed, like, the actual, like, video footage or anything like that, like, they had individual people sitting in the chairs, either wearing, like, the clothes for the thing, or regular clothes, or whatever. They were there. It was interesting how they did the crowd this time. It wasn't just, like, a bunch of dots.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it wasn't a bunch of dots in the last game, though.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, they've upgraded on the actual out, you know, the people in the crowd. Not
yeah, it doesn't look like there were, like, clones of characters.
Not too much.
Yeah. But I feel like there could have been some things that have been done better. I don't know if it's because I was more impressed with last week's sports game, seeing how far along they went with the Madden series there, and then just seeing what NHL 13 did, or rather didn't do, to bring forth an evolution of sorts into the hockey gaming genre.
I thought that opening was pretty badass.
Yeah, I do have to give
slow motion slap shot was pretty badass.
Yeah,
but you know, to do like the music I liked in the background.
Yes, I love the Hives.
There was Offspring. There was Hives. I think there was also what's that song, Shine Down from the Bully song there.
And then you've got that Zombie Nation whatever song that plays in every single
Current Craft.
Yeah.
yeah. So more or less, I mean. How would you rate this sucker?
Like I said, I really wasn't impressed with this demo. I was hoping to see something new to the franchise, but other than that whole world connection thing that you can do with like playing with friends and stuff, I've seen other games that have done that.
Okay.
So that really didn't really impress me too much. I think I can give this demo maybe a respectable 3 out of 5.
Really?
Yes.
I was going to lean toward, like, a 4, more or less, with my concept of the game. I mean, it's just one of those things that kind of brought me back to the NHL, like, 96 and stuff like that, when I was playing like that. But just the graphics were much more updated, and, you know, like, I could actually figure out, hey, that's so-and-so on the team and whatnot. So, like, they had more uniqueness to it. But yeah, I mean, all in all, I felt like it was probably a 4 at best.
Okay.
For the demo, but until you didn't get your hands on the actual game, we could only say so much. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
All right, next one.
Yeah, well, a little walk down memory lane with the Counter-Strike series.
No? Okay.
Because I used to play this back in college with a bunch of my friends in anime club. Sometimes instead of watching anime, we'd get the game out, so we would hijack one of like the computer labs.
Dude, college was like 3 years ago. Dude, I've been playing this game since back in like 98 with Cousin Tank.
Well, me personally.
You personally. Me?
Forever. You're more old school.
Yeah.
Blonic is more old school when it comes to the Counter-Strike series.
Yeah, well, when I had the proper computers at the time playing the game, yeah, I was able to play the living hell out of that thing. Actually, before the whole concept of hooking up to your fucking TV, I did that before you fuckers. I found a special system that I was able to purchase at one point, and this is back in like 2002. Purchased it, plugged it in for my computer, ran a line to my fucking TV, and was playing Counter-Strike on a wireless keyboard right on my big screen TV. So, suck it. That's how fucking hardcore I was.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, the whole concept, and oh yeah, I forgot to say that. I ran it off my surround sound system, so I could actually hear what the fuck was going on.
Yep.
But for this game and whatnot, yeah, it's one of those things where, to bring it back, it's great. Global Offense, I thought, was supposed to be a wee bit more.
How so? Now,
I have to say this, it may be more on the actual PC. Now, that's the one thing that probably Cousin Tag would be here about saying he would be pissed off because of the fact that it's mainly based on a console system right now.
Well, no, it's on PC, Mac.
No. Don't get me wrong on that one. Yes, it's on PC. But originally was based on four console and made the transfer to PC.
Oh, okay.
So more or less you're going to be having more simplified things than, you know, how to play from the Xbox or PS3 or whatever console you're playing it on to the PC. The PC has way more buttons, as you can see, than dealing with like an Xbox controller that has like, you know, as many as it does.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about that setup is yes, I'm glad to see it back. Have I stopped being able to play this game? No, I haven't. I fell right back into the hole. I can't stop fucking playing it.
Yeah.
I even forced myself to go and play not Call of Duty, but Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were supposed to be putting out a new one, but apparently, new update for the game, but apparently that doesn't come out until sometime the end of fall.
Oh,
so I'm kind of pissed off because I read up on it on Facebook, and then I was like, oh, that means this should be it. I looked it up and down on the marketplace on Xbox and couldn't find it, and I went, what the F, and I dug into it a bit more and then found out, oh yeah, this is the game that's supposed to be coming out late fall, and it's supposed to have the single-player campaign and this and that, and I'm like, son of a bitch! But so with that said, you know, Counter-Strike, yes, it's awesome. But I have seen a lot of issues with people saying that they've been having issues with lag. Yes, I did see a little bit of the issue with lag. But I also have to ask you, who is your provider? Saying if in the New England area, from my understanding is, it's mainly Comcast and Verizon. I have the Fios and all that other stuff, and it works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Comcast people, sometimes you gotta watch out for Comcast because they ramp your shit. They can give you like all that speed and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden it will slowly dwindle between your neighbors and whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
that's the thing that sucks ass about that. But I did notice that sometimes when characters ran into each other, you actually merged. So yeah, I mean, like, you merge. Like, you became one person running in the same spot. It's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to bounce off one another. But
whoops.
But now, that's the thing about this is that the concept of, like, Counter-Strike to, you know, this newer Counter-Strike, it's not like there's going to be people modding the living shit out of it, like, on Xbox Live. I can't really see anybody being able to mod the shit out of, like, a customized match as they do actually on the PC. PC, there's, like, people doing web-slinging. And I mean, like, web-slinging, like, they have a special, like, energy bar that will shoot out, and it will hit the side of the wall, and they can use that to swing, and I mean, whip through the whole, like, map in 2 seconds. They whip around. It's just crazy. And then there's other things like gravity that you can fuck with. And before, we used to be able to, like, Cousin Tech and I would always fuck around with, like, doing, like, the old Team Fortress Classic. Like,
yeah.
The actual Team Fortress Classic. And, you know, if you were on 2-Fort, we would turn off the gravity. And we would turn off the gravity to maybe, like, 30% or something like that. You'd be able to just do one single hop from one part of the fort to the other part of the fort. And those are about, like, a football, football's length away. But with this setup, you're not going to have to be dealing too much with hackers, except for the people that have those lag switch controllers and whatnot. You can't get away from them.
Yeah.
They're assholes. So more or less, I have to say that, you know, with the whole setup here, with the new Counter-Strike, yes, you brought back a good game, but the only problem is you didn't update it as well as it could have been. I'm saying that, like, there needs to be more. It's great that you brought back the old Team Deathmatch setup. Then they brought, which I can't really remember if they had it originally, but there's called Arms Race Deal.
Is that where you have to pass around, like, guns and swords?
No. Every time you kill somebody, you get a better gun.
Oh, okay.
So more or less, they start you off with, like, a machine gun. A submachine gun. So you shoot one person, that switches to an Uzi. Then you shoot another person, it switches to a P90. It goes up, you know, like, until you get to certain points.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get about 27, 26 kills or something like that, you get a golden knife. And then when you stab the enemy with that,
yeah,
that ends the round.
Okay.
So whoever gets the golden knife, or the golden ticket, basically, and stabs somebody, that ends the round. Like, and a couple other ones, I can't really recall off the top of my head. I mean, there's there's your usual team, you know, they have a classic one where you actually have it set up so if you shoot your teammate, they're going to die. Yes. Which, that means, assholes, come here and kill your own teammates! You know, that one really pisses me off, so sometimes they have the extended team deathmatch there. For the most part, I mean, the game itself is pretty interesting, you know, running around doing arms race and all the other stuff, but it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, well, that's great that you guys kind of added a few things, but these are those things where, yes, we have a short-term span memory now, like, we don't give a shit, like, we'll just keep playing or just get so bored of it, and yeah. I feel like people might get bored of this game really quickly. So, as fun as it is, I mean, I got hooked on it and I kept on playing it almost all day long.
Now, what would you suggest to Valve to, like, say, update it or upgrade it? Like, if you had a chance to talk with Valve, you'd say, I have an idea to make Counter-Strike better. What would that idea be?
Well, see, that's the issue is, like, it's hard to be original nowadays. I mean, especially, like, you got Call of Duty, you got Battlefield, you know, everything such as that. But, I mean, they did add in... I was playing on some of the old maps that I remember playing on, but then they finally added some new maps to this, which is great. I would say maybe open up the maps a little bit bigger. Maybe make them, you know... Yes, it's close quarters combat, but maybe just a little bit bigger with some more close quarters combat set up onto that. Mm. Next to that, they need to just make the whole setup just a little bit better with the gun selection. I mean... Yes, they have a great gun selection. These are, like, amazing. The only thing I noticed that they took away was the shield. So you couldn't do the shield and pistol. But yet they brought back, they brought in a taser. And with me, I have to say, I think using the taser in this game is probably one of the hardest things you could ever do.
Because it's so tiny, and you gotta really reach out and just be right next to them in order to use it.
Well, no. This actually shoots out the nose. But I'm saying in the sense that it's hard because as soon as somebody can turn around and they see you, you have to be really close when you shoot a taser. And it's fucking horrible when you miss. You just miss by like one friggin' thing and 1 foot.
Yes.
And yeah. And you don't have the reload capabilities as fast as, you know, you could. So this game, you know, if I was to rate it right now, 3.8, but I am going to play it a little bit more, and I am going to do it. I did buy it. It is a demo, but I also bought it.
Right. For people who download the demo version of this, you are given 45 minutes to try out the full game.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, because 45 minutes gives you plenty of time for you to figure out if you want to buy it or not.
Oh, yeah. I basically bought it 2 seconds.
Yeah, I gave it, like, more close to a 4 when I tried out the demo version. I only was able to try out 2 of the modes. That was the one where you got to plant the bomb.
Well, yeah, that's the usual team deathmatch.
Yeah, team deathmatch, and then the hostage one, too.
Yeah. But, for the most part, I have to say that's basically, like, they need to sit back and maybe add a little bit more things. But Valve, they're so busy with shit. Like, they will... I'm surprised this even came out in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
To have this come out was just actually kind of like a surprise. It would have probably been better near Christmas, but now it's just fine as is. But it's just one of those things where, you know, they I think they're still working on the next Half-Life episodes and whatnot. Yeah,
there are rumors that they're going to be revealing Half-Life 3 finally.
I mean, hell, I was fucking surprised they even did, like... Portal 2 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of those concepts. It's like, let's strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. And fortunately, the iron was still good.
Yeah. But that's what I really have to say about Counter-Strike. I mean, I will go probably within the next week. I'll have a little bit more in-depth with the actual game, so you can check that out on our website.
All right.
Next to that, what's up?
I think that's it. Okay. That's all we have. I know this is a short episode, ladies and gentlemen, but... With there being only 2 of us right now, we had to go back to the old school days and how it was back at Salem State when we were on No Borders, No Race.
Yeah, well, that's when we had music in between everything.
Yeah, and basically it would be 15 minutes total talking with, you know,
well, no,
2 hours, 10 minutes
of music. It was about a half hour each hour.
So we did 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
So we did about half. So about the whole show, we did about an hour and a half of maybe talking, real talking.
Maybe, yeah.
And then it was some commercialization sprinkled in there for the college, and then the actual music.
Yes.
So more or less, that's basically how that show went.
Yeah. So remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter, king_baby_duck, and Bloik is under Bloik.
Please contact us. We want to hear from you. Okay. We're also on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. Basically, if you do that way, or you just type it into the search bar, you should be able to find us by our logo. Go in there, like us, and then you can talk to us. Or you can talk to us and then like us. I don't give a shit. Just fucking like us and then talk with us. Because I want to be able to see who's actually listening. And if you want to, you know, keep going and whatnot, just talk to us and we'll let you know what's going on. And hopefully we'll have some more interesting news coming up.
Yep. Now, this coming Saturday, we are going to be rocking out with The World is Square. I believe at 1 p.m. it's going to start. It's them, Bright Primate, and Sam Mulligan at the Middle East upstairs. Tickets are only $7, and it's an afternoon show. So after you go out there, you can have a good dinner, and then you can have to go see another show that evening.
Exactly.
So you can have a full eventful day on there. So if you do come to the Middle East upstairs, you'll see Bloik and I. Maybe you might see another bastard or two. Say hi to us.
Say hi-o. Okay. I'm done.
Okay.
Thanks, Electric Sisterhood, yet again. And all our other sponsors and whatnot. I'm kind of butchering it today.
I know.
I'm kind of on
the like how you're holding that bottle of Fuse like it's an award. Like
it's an award!
I want to thank the Academy for this special award.
I'd like to stuff this right up somebody's ass. Thank you, James Cameron. Come here. But anyways, yeah.
Alright. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And this is Blue Water.
Reminding you don't have to leave Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.